And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Thursday, April 15, 2021. Great to have you here with us. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web. That's where you can find us. Good afternoon. Once again, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. On our website, you can find all of our social media links, all of our streaming sources. Make it very easy for you. Just click a link to listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, also Amazon, iHeartRadio, so many different options, YouTube as well, and all of our great radio affiliates are listed there as well, and information listed to past broadcasts. It's all up at markettalkag.com. Well, we managed to rebound after a pretty disappointing weekly export sales report today. Grains were mostly higher except old crop corn. Livestock did take it on the chin today, though, so we got a few different things to talk about. Let's bring in our good friend Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, good afternoon to you, sir. How's things in Kansas?
Doing fantastic. We're starting to get a little bit warmer, Jesse, but a lot of wheat guys are a little bit nervous right now with the weather, the out west, especially with some frost and freeze advisories coming in here at the end of this week, and maybe even some snow for far western Kansas.
Yeah, weather is definitely a big topic of concern, and I think we'll get to that here in a minute because it's definitely a big driver in these grain markets this week. I want to start, though, with the weekly export sales report came out this morning, and honestly, looking across the board, it was just disappointing all the way around for all different commodities and the livestock sector as well, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, disappointing is being kind, I think, too. I think this is a really, if you wanted to run a clinic on an economic theory of rationing demand, I think this could be one, especially if it's followed up with another week next week as dismal as this week was. We had four separate commodities with fresh marketing year lows for their weekly export sales. That's saying something as deep into the marketing year as we are right now in a lot of these commodities. Among them was pork. And as you said, that was something that really showed up in the trade on Thursday for the hog sector. Another one, though, was soybean oil. And soybean oil has been the real leader, the real kind of rocket fuel that's allowed the soybean market to go higher in the midst of some other negative fundamentals, especially as Brazil gets more ships on the water. There's a lot more vessels on the water heading out of Brazil. I counted today on an interactive map that I purchased. There's about 150 soybean vessels that are Panamax size or bigger heading towards China right now. So it does look like they do have a crop that's exportable at this point. But so the question is, with such dismal weekly export sales for bean oil actually being a negative number, and then the weekly meal sales were also a marketing year low, and then beans came in down 81% from the four-week average of only 3 million bushels. Why were the beans higher? And I think this sets us up with what you and I have been talking about a lot of. There is some weather in there, as you talked about and alluded to, but I think you also have that reflation bull, that risk on trade in the outside markets. What made a new all-time high again today? The stock market. And so I think you saw a real risk on mindset where the commodities are still looked upon as a good asset to buy into because of inflation, especially given some of the recent economic data. Today, or this morning, we had retail sales, and those were off the charts great. Unemployment numbers were off the charts great. And most importantly to me, the treasury bond auctions have been met with very strong demand. That suggests that no one's really interested in raising interest rates right now. The demand is there at the current interest rate offered. So these things, I think, are working into the higher prices that we found here both this week and last week, Jesse. But I'm starting to get very, very concerned about this demand rationing that we saw in the weekly export sales.
Let's talk a little bit more about that demand rationing, Mike. I mean, you alluded to all those different factors, and we're looking at this trade, and we've talked about the need to maybe ration demand for quite a while now, and we're starting to see it show up longer term, or I guess next couple of weeks ahead. What are going to be some more signs that show that we're starting to ration demand in commodities?
Well, I think technicals are going to be the first and foremost thing, and this is where it gets really tough, because we can't forget that it was just earlier this month that the CFTC allowed position limits to be expanded. And so the funds are carrying an inordinate amount of length right now in these grains especially. And if they start to sell and they sell hard, it'll be like catching a falling knife. And I personally think that that's part of the reason why the hogs ended up going limit down on Thursday, was in part because the funds decided to really get out. And when they get out, they get out. And so they really can make a big splash in the pool nowadays. So technicals would be number one. I talked to clients and subscribers last night on my video update about a gap below the market in the December corn around 480. There's also a gap above the market in lead month futures that goes all the way up to 684. So about 80 cents above our current highs that we just posted for our 7-year highs this week in lead month futures. And so you can make an argument for either side of the technicals to go higher or lower and meet gaps. But I think it really does go back to the weather, because this has been primarily a weather charged market, and the demand, if it's being rationed, you kind of have to have the weather on your side. So this takes me to the US and European wheat crop, the Northern Plains wheat and canola crops, and most importantly, the Brazilian, specifically the Southern Brazilian corn drought that we're under right now. And not to, you know, not to make light or not to give Mato Grosso its due, it's the majority of the Safrina corn for that country as far as production. So I think if weather starts to turn, which models are starting to suggest that, we better be ready to be in hedges. And my vehicle that I'd recommend more on a general basis, you know, painting a broad brush, would be getting some December corn puts in place and looking at those as a good floor to put in place. If we drop 30 or 40 cents in December corn, take your profit, get out, go flat, and see what happens this summer.
Well, Mike, I know you look at a lot of weather models that go into the analysis you provide for folks. And let's dive a little bit more into the weather side of this picture. And, you know, you mentioned all of them, the U.S., European wheat growing areas, the Northern Plains, the Canadian prairies, and also into parts of Brazil, and even starting to hear more rumblings of a hot and dry summer in the Midwest in the U.S. this year. All of these weather factors seem to be the overall drivers of this market here, I would say, the last week or so. Is that what you are seeing? And do you see anything on those weather models that would maybe change that? Or is this going to be the driver moving forward?
No, I think corn planters are running around here. Corn planter, and they're going slow because of the cooler weather, Jesse, but beans are going in very aggressively, or were before the cold weather came in. I think you're really starting to get that new supply in the ground. That always brings me to a mindset, especially if you're holding on to old crop corn and beans at these price levels, what is your end game? You know, where do you see yourself selling? And as we talked before, do you sell it as it goes higher and average your price up? Or do you try and catch that falling knife after a top has been confirmed? And how much do you let it go down before you say, okay, that is a confirmed top? So that's something you're going to have to deal with here in the here and now as we put the new supply in. I would still be most concerned in terms of downside, more concerned about the soybeans, because African swine fever is still an issue. We still don't know what the summer grilling season is going to bring us. And in terms of how quickly we're jumping into it. In other words, I think the vaccination program is going very, very well, but we're also being asked to keep wearing masks. And I wonder, how's that going to work with people going to a sit-down restaurant? Are they just going to stick with their past year's experience and just continue to do takeout? You know, so we got to really walk gingerly through this next 30 days and get some data from the National Restaurant Association and some other economic food data that should be out in the next 30 days to give us some real hard updates as far as where we're at on the demand side there. So this all works back into the livestock and grain markets, because it all works back into that inflationary bug that the trade is pricing in, this great economic data that the IMF is suggesting, this Federal Reserve mindset that we're going to leave hands off till we go above 2% inflation. We're not going to touch interest rates. We're going to not try and preempt this market from and shortchanging it and cutting it off from getting overheated. That's being priced in right now. I think we really have to come to grips with that.
Well, and you mentioned as well, if anyone's holding on to old crop or quarter soybeans, you know, what's their end game right now? And even looking at new crop as well, cash basis is so strong in the U.S. It really doesn't matter where you go right now. Cash basis is just super, super strong. in a lot of areas. So you talk about getting hedges in place or getting floors underneath you. I mean, you almost would have to even look at just some outright cash sales just with how strong basis is right now. What would you say to that, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, especially since you paid up so much for the crop insurance this year, use it, you know, utilize it and use that as your backstop for making cash sales. And I think this is where, as we talked about a lot, the sell and defend model, there is extra capital in your budget this year you didn't have the last 5 years to defend your sales. And I think it's really paramount that you bake that into your cake and into your marketing plan, that if you have a very strong basis and you're near an ethanol plant, I think it makes sense that you would want to take advantage of that and just do a straightforward contract and then come back in on the new crop corn and buy back in so that you're there in case there's a summer weather event, because it is very odd and it is not normal that you would have a strong basis in 30 or 60 days if you get the crop safely planted. And I think this is the toggle point we're at right now, is the market does not want to let too much old crop corn and beans go out the door because we're running razor thin supplies. But in 30 days, they may no longer feel that way. And as I said to someone else today, I said, you know, these export sales really do bring up the idea. And with the Brazilians shipping out cargoes of beans now and vessels are moving to China, it really does bring back the idea I've been concerned about for about 6 months, is did China double book? Did they buy extra because of the pandemic and because they didn't know what the crop would be like in Brazil? So we really got to feel our way through this. And the only way I know how to do that is through that sell and defend model. And one last thing about the wheat market, you know, wheat came late to this party. I think that the wheat could really be a strong counter-seasonal mover to the upside. Maybe we talk about this after the report, but we got to have that dollar continue to be weak. And so that's the key for me, is, okay, how hard do I press on the gas for my hedges this month? Well, it goes back to the dollar, and that goes back to the fund length, and that goes back to the crude oil market. And all those three things work together to help give us a gauge of whether the wheat is going to be there or not. But when I saw a news story today, Jesse, of a top U.S. Air Force general tell a U.S. lawmaker that the likelihood of Russia invading Ukraine again is low to medium in the next few weeks, that doesn't make me feel good about being unhedged in this market right now. We really got to think about those things out there that have caused us problems in the not so distant future past.
Mike, let's switch our gears and talk livestock and cattle and hog markets. We alluded to it earlier on. We're down today. Hogs were down, limit in many contracts as well. We saw those dismal weekly export sales numbers. And looking at the hog market first, was it mainly just because of those weak numbers and that marketing year low on the export sales for pork? Was that the driver of this hog market turning lower today, or is there more to the story?
No, I think that's a lot of it. I do think, though, that we're also getting the cutouts, those bellies and ham cutouts. They're just rallying and doing it in such a counter-seasonal manner. It should start to make people concerned that are long in this market, because this is not the time for the bellies and the hams to be rallying like they are. So with those kind of exports that we saw, it takes the pressure off of the domestic buyer to really go after pigs. And I think that's what we're seeing. And the question will then become, okay, if we have another day of limit down or sharply lower prices and we close out the week this way, that could really spell a weekly sell signal in the hog chart, and it could even in the monthly hog chart. And that would be right as the April goes off the board. And we've talked about how the April's been the rocket fuel to this move higher. So I'm real nervous about the hogs finding another $5 to $8 break to the downside. It would not surprise me at all to see that as the May comes in as the lead month. And then maybe the trade will want to come back in and buy back if they see that African swine fever is once again tapering off and the overall cosmetic look of the demand side remains good. In other words, rationing demand on the upside and then going back down and finding demand again. And I think that's what we're in the beginning stages of when it comes to hogs.
And on the cattle side, we were a bit lower today as well. Cattle couldn't seem to move higher with the corn market weakening a little bit. I know that's been a big force behind feeder cattle, especially turning lower here this last week. But feedlot country still trying to search for some cash momentum. Export sales were weaker on the beef side. Anything on the cattle market that has you nervous this week?
Well, I think the majority of the downside in the cattle is probably in the market at this point because of the feeder corn spread and that feeder corn ratio. I think the feeders could actually provide some support to the fat cattle pretty dramatically, given that feeder fat spread being so low. If we do see the corn start to sell off a little bit more aggressively on improved weather conditions in Brazil and a faster planting pace here in the U.S., on next Monday's crop progress report, I am disappointed with the cash trade. I was really thinking that by Wednesday, we would see a lot more active trade. Hedger's Edge, you know, keeps that profit margin for packer breakevens. It's still upwards of $600 a head or just under $600 a head. The buying and the demand side should be very robust right now, given the tighter weights and the lower dress weights, and the fact that we should be stocking up for the summer seasonal. So I am disappointed in the cash trade. I'm hoping we do have a good Friday, and that allows the cash market to at least salvage some of a pretty dismal week. But I wanted to hedge cattle about $4 higher. I just didn't pull the trigger. And this goes back to me learning and helping teach the clients how the funds operate and how those funds move. They move very fast nowadays. So if I did any hedging at this point in cattle because of something in the outside markets like the stock market, that still has a very strong relationship to the cattle right now, Jesse, almost a 90% relationship on an 18-week basis between those two commodities and those two futures, I should say. So if I did see the stock market make a high and I felt like cattle had another $5 to $8 down with hogs, I'd probably just do bought puts at this stage, kind of like corn.
Well, Mike, I'm kind of speaking out loud here a little bit, and I'd love your opinion on this. And, you know, USDA this week canceled the Farmers to Family Food Box program. We saw that affect dairy really hard this week. And I wonder as well if that maybe is affecting or could affect some other commodities and the livestock sector here moving forward. Do you think it will, or was it mainly just a dairy issue that it affected them this week?
Right now, I think it's milk and cheese primarily. But, you know, Jesse, you bring up a really big point about if we don't reopen the schools in the fall, we're going to have to go through all this all over again when it comes to not getting the meat demand that we're used to and the supply chain having certain cuts and not having other cuts. And so, I'll go back to the vaccination program has been stellar in this country. You can't say it any other way. But the idea that we still have to wear a mask after we get vaccinated, and some of the big vaccination programs being put on hold because of medical issues, I can't help but wonder what that's going to do to the consumption side of the equation. I think that's really what you're rightfully pinpointing is, how is this all going to play out in terms of the consumer's mindset when Wall Street and financial markets are all geared up for this boom? I heard it this morning at a breakfast meeting at the local college among city leaders in the college and some of us in the private sector. You know, people are getting ready for the roaring 20s again after this pandemic, because that's what happened last time after the 1918 Spanish flu. I'm sitting here saying I want that as bad as the next guy, but I got to see some data first.
I would agree with that as well, Mike. Lastly, looking at the stock market, outside factors you mentioned as well, new highs in the stock market. We've seen some strength in crude oil today. Ethanol, we're looking at that market as well, maybe a sleeper market moving into the summer months with more demand, with driving. Anything in these outside markets that you're seeing here this week we need to watch moving forward?
Yeah, and this is where I would say get a trial, get a subscription on the website, globalcomresearch.com, because I talked directly about this last night, and I don't send this to Jesse typically, so I didn't send last night's copy. So this is kind of how good he is and how timely he is that there's some tripwires out there, and I think the emerging markets, like it oftentimes does, leads us up, and that leads the commodity markets higher. That leads to the inflationary bias in the markets. And that is associated with the weaker dollar. So emerging market goes up, dollar goes down. That's a commodity buy signal for the most part, historically, Jesse. What I'm worried about with some of the data and some of the things we're talking about, the geopolitics, if Russia would go ahead and go into Ukraine, or if Taiwan and China would start to throw sparks at one another, would that be an automatic buy to the U.S. dollar? Because that's typically the safe haven place to go. Let's buy the dollar until the smoke clears, so to speak. I think that's what we really got to watch for at these levels, especially because we are making some pretty extraordinary gains in the stock market right now, historic gains in the stock market right now. And we haven't seen a lot of real strong growth. We're just planning on it.
Well, you mentioned it, folks can go to your website, globalcomresearch.com, globalcom with two M's, globalcomresearch.com, and sign up for a trial with your newsletter and all the great information you have there, and get your contact info there as well. Mike, great insight as always. I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday for Market Talk, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks for having me, Jesse, and nice job as well.
Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics joining us today here for a Thursday, April 15th edition of Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.